take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Psalm number 90. Psalm number 90. We'll read the entire chapter, 17 verses, and I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the even-numbered verses. Psalm number 90. And let's stand together as we read. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return ye, children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like the grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless us as we hear your word today. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just touch our hearts as we hear the preaching this morning. Be with Pastor as he brings a message to us today. And we do pray, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you.
Amen. Hope your ears are tuned in. Amen. All right. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm number 90. Again this morning, Psalm number 90. I told the Sunday school class, if you see me fooling with my glasses this morning, I don't have a nervous twitch. I just got new glasses set Friday. And when you get new bifocals, it's like everything's out of kilter. And so every once in a while, you kind of get cockeyed to me, and I have to readjust it here. And if I get cockeyed to you, just kick me out, all right? But anyway, so if you see me fooled with them, that is why. It takes me a while to get used to them. They said your brain has to adjust to what your eyes see, and you know that'll be a long time coming for me, right? So, all right, Psalm number 90. I was telling the adult Sunday school class, but you know, if everybody would just come to adult Sunday school, I don't have to say things once, right? But when I never wore glasses until I was 38 years old, and then all of a sudden I was actually vacuuming the carpet in the church with this pattern here, and every time I'd do it, I'd get sick as a dog. And so I said, I better go see the doctor. Maybe something's going on. It was my vision. But at 38, never wore glasses, all of a sudden had to wear bifocals. And they gave me the line bifocals. And I came up here and I tried to preach, and everything was a blur. And I said, no, they won't work. So I went to the conservative or progressive lenses. And so I've been using those, but I had to get them upgraded. And now I'm supposed to see more clearly, but I'm not so sure yet. I see that young couple back there, Randy and Anita. I guess that must not be too clear, is it? No. All right, Anita just had a birthday. Don't want to mention that again. You know, New Year's are great things. I wish everybody could have been here last Sunday. It was nasty out, but passable, and we had a pretty good crowd. I think there's about 50 people out, and we preached in the morning service about taking inventory of the last year on the 31st, taking inventory. Go back on the last year and take inventory of your life. And if there's things that need to be changed, improve on them for the new year. From the foundation of the fact that God is going to take inventory of us when we stand before Him. And so if we'll take inventory now and make adjustments now, then we're better off for the new year. And then Sunday night, as I mentioned, I preached about God's eye on His people. And God's watching over us. We're in the palm of His hand. We are like clay. He's the potter. Nothing is going to happen to us without Him allowing it. And sometimes He mars the clay in His hands to make it a vessel more usable, more fit for His glory. And so whatever takes place this year, I have no idea what's going to happen with us. None. We just can't know. But God knows. Someone said, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. And so we look at the new year in light of God's going to work all things together for our good that love Him and for His glory. God is going to bless and strengthen us, and God will give us the grace to walk through any circumstance that He allows in our lives, whatever it may be. And so we approach the new year from that perspective as we preached last Sunday morning and Sunday night. This morning I want to talk about making 2018. That sounds like an unbelievable number, doesn't it? Kale, did you think you'd see the year 2018? Kale just turned 92, right? 92 years of age. And here you are, and we're going to help you shoot for like 2028. Okay, but we're so glad you're able to be out, and we thank the Lord for you. But 2018, did you ever think you'd see it? I certainly wondered. But we need to make it count. We need to make 2018 count. God wants to do great things through your life and through my life, through our church, through His people. Paul mentioned an open door and effectual. A very important open door that God can work and use lies in front of us for this new year. We can't sit idle and just let things happen. We need to be proactive for the Lord this year. Psalm chapter 90, let's read it again this morning. Lord, I'm just going to read a few excerpts from it. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And then if you would drop down to verse number 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. I want to focus especially on the thought in verses 1 and 2, and then verses 12 and 15 and 17. When we look at Scripture, we examine truth. The Scripture is the truth. Jesus said, Thy word, as He prayed to the Father, Thy word is truth. And when we look at Scripture, we're not looking at some truth and some fable. We're looking at God's truth. Amen. And when we look at God's truth, it then causes us, when we rightfully examine it, it should cause us to make applications. When I encourage people in studying the Bible, there's three things that we should ask when we read the Scripture. We should say, what does it say? Most people never really stop to ponder, what does the Scripture say? They have preconceived ideas, never even look at what the Bible actually says. So when we read the Bible, we should say, ask, what does it say? Then we should ask, what does it mean? And we determine its meanings through its usage within its context and through the harmony of other truth in the Scripture. What does it mean? And then where many people fall short is to ask themselves, how does it apply to me? To me. Everybody wants to apply God's word to someone else, but real Christian growth takes place as we let God's word apply to us. Paul said he kept his body under subjection lest he, having preached to others, would become a castaway. He wanted to make sure he lived what he preached to the best of his ability by the grace of God. He wanted to apply the truth. And so we seek to apply the truth. So when we look at Scripture, we examine its truth. And then when we examine its truth, it should cause us to make applications. Our faith is based completely upon the authority of the Word of God. It's not based on Baptistology. It's based on the Bible. Psalm 90 is one of the great psalms in Scripture. I love psalms. I've preached on Wednesday night, did a study all the way through every psalm, including the 176 verses in Psalm 119, preached through every psalm. Psalm 90 is one of the great psalms. The greatness is both in the truth that it presents and in its stated application. When Scripture gives us a stated application of truth presented, that's the application we need to use in our lives. You know, when we look at, you know, I love Scripture that outlines itself easily and then tells me how to apply it. Less is left to my own faulty thinking. In our adult Sunday school class, we've been studying theology, doctrine of salvation, doctrine of the Bible, bibliology, theology proper of the person of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what the Bible says about God himself. And what we know about God is what God has revealed to us through general revelation, creation, and through special revelation, which is found in his word. That's what we know about God. One can't know about God apart from how God has revealed himself. We can't just go find God. Good luck. We can't search him out and discover him. God has chosen to reveal himself to us through creation, through the scripture. Our total knowledge of God is based on his self-revelation to us through his works and through his word. As we approach this new year, Psalm 90 has been on my heart and on my mind because it presents God and us in comparison, and then the application we should make in view of that. We should approach this year with hearts set on positive spiritual accomplishments. I'd like everybody here this morning to be contemplating some things that you can do for the Lord this year. Only one life, so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And everybody here should be thinking in the beginning of the year, what can I do for God? What can I accomplish for God in the year 2018. Notice what the psalmist does in verse number 12. He says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So I want to talk for just a few minutes on making 2018 count. Let's just pause for prayer. Father, bless now these thoughts. Strengthen us. Help us. Encourage us. Glorify your name through us. Father, if there's anybody that doesn't know personally, if they should die that they'd go to heaven, may they get that matter settled by putting their faith and trust in Jesus alone today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Psalm 90 contrasts the eternality of God with the mortality of man. God always was, but we came to be. I was listening to Dr. S.M. Lockridge, a black preacher. I believe he's passed away now, but from California. And in one of his messages, he was talking about scoffers who came to him and said, "Oh, there is no God." And they said, "Where did God come from?" And S.M. Lockridge replied, "God didn't come from nowhere, because there wasn't nowhere to come from. From everlasting to everlasting, you couldn't measure that. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God always was, but we came to be." God, in this passage we see, holds man accountable unto him. God is the creator. He made all things. In verse number 2, we see he formed the earth before the mountains were ever brought forth. He existed, and he formed the earth and the world. Whatever is discoverable in the universe, God put there. He formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. And so in verse number 2 or 3, we see he turns man to destruction and says, "Return, ye children of men." God holds mankind accountable unto him. In our day, people have forgotten that. The humanistic theology teaches that man is accountable to man, that you're accountable to your inner self. Whatever you feel like inside, follow your heart. The Bible says that he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But human theology teaches that humanistic theology teaches that we, our inner selves, we're accountable to us. But far greater than that, we see in this passage of Scripture, the everlasting God holds us personally, individually, accountable unto Him. God always existed in eternity, but man was created in time. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. You know, we watch the clock. By the way, the clock in the back, Dave Goff said an elephant must have sat on it. It's gone. It's broke. Okay? So I'm not limited this morning. Amen? No, I have my watch. All right? But we're creatures, we're confined to time, and we check the clock. You know, what time are you going to be there? What time are we going to leave? What time service? What time? Everything's based on time. But God inhabits, the Bible says, eternity. God always existed in eternity, but man was created in time. God is always, in this passage of Scripture, sovereign over His creation. If God told the sun to stand still, which He did in the days of Joshua, it stood still. If God told it to rain, it rained. If God said there'd be a drought, there'll be a drought. God is in control. Now, He set nature in motion, but it's at His command, and He can change it as He wills. Amen? He's sovereign over everything. Man rises or falls at the command of God. In verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction or to the dust, to be contrite, and says, return, ye children of men. God can put us down and raise us up. God's sovereign over all creation, and men rise or fall at the command of God. Now, God inhabits eternity, man time. How mankind spends eternity is contingent upon what he does with God in time. We don't have eternity to set it right with God. We have time. We have our lifetime. Our rejoicing in life is contingent upon the mercies of God. Look at verse number 15. Make us glad according to the days, or excuse me, verse number 14. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our what? Days. All our days. Our rejoicing in life is contingent upon the mercies of God. Looking at the power of God with reverence causes us to realize that His wrath is as great as we revered Him to be. Notice, if you would, there in verse number 11. Who knows the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, thy reverence, how we revere thee. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Listen to me. God is as great and powerful as you could ever imagine Him to be. Don't mess with God. Amen. I feel sorry for these peanut brains. They say, I don't believe there's a God. They will. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Bow now or bow later. Bow now in time, and you get to spend eternity with the Lord. The eternal God is no one to think lightly of. I personally take offense to people referring to God as the man upstairs. That came about in the 60s, you know, the coffee house Christianity, the big man upstairs. And He's not the big man upstairs. He's God. Amen. And contemplating the truth of the psalm, we've read it. It presents God as the eternal God and man as His subject. Man who is confined to time. God who inhabits eternity. And what happens as we contemplate the greatness of God and the finiteness of man, it helps us to see ourselves as we really are. Dr. Evans in Bible college used to say, we need to see ourselves as a zero with the ring rubbed off. Looking at this psalm, we see the greatness of the eternal God and the minute stature of man in comparison. Remember Isaiah's response, the book of Isaiah, when he saw the vision of God. If you'd like to turn there, you're welcome to Isaiah 6:1. I just want you to notice it real quick. What was his response when he saw a vision of God? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn if you'd like to. Certainly join me. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, twain or two, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Notice Isaiah. Then said I, Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Listen, Isaiah was humbled before the presence of the eternal God. That's what Psalm 90 does to us. It should humble us at the very thought of the presence of eternal God. God is infinite, man is finite. God's days are without number, and man's days are numbered. Look at Psalm 90 and verse number 9. For our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that's told, or a meditation that someone would, just a passing thought. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. We toil all the time, our whole life. And then our life is soon cut off and we fly away. I like that. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll what? Fly away. Amen. Now notice, seeing the eternality of God and the short time of our lives should cause us to do some beneficial reflection. And verse 12 is that. He says, so, in view of this, so, teach us. Going into the Bible should always be a learning exercise. Amen? When you come to church, you ought to be learning something. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, here's the application of the psalm. Looking at the eternality of God and the finiteness of man, that we're caught in time, and what we do in time with God depends on eternity. The application is, teach us to number our days. Now, this idea is not for us to sit down and count, okay, how many days do I have? Let's see, 70, or if I'm strong, 80. I'd fall in the second category, right? By the way, this verse does not limit man's life, nor define it. It's just general speaking. You live 70, maybe 80 if you're strong, or longer. 108 if you're KO. The The idea is not, Lord, teach me to number my days. I'm going to count my days. Let's see, this year I have 365 minus what I have minus 7. Let's see, you're a good mathematician. I have 300 and so many odd days left in this year. That's not the idea. Not at all. The idea is instead, teach us to make our days count. To number them, to value them. To make our days count. The short time of our lives should cause us to value our days. As I get older and I do memorial services for people that are younger than I realize that my days are finite. James 4 and verse 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears a little time and then vanishes away. I used to watch as my mom would boil water in that little tea kettle that whistled when it, you know, when the steam came out, and watch the steam come out and then it was gone. James says, that's our life. We have a short time, and so we need to value every day. Not every year necessarily. Oh, I got this year. I don't have this year. I may have, but I do have today, this moment. If we're going to make 2018 count, then each of us needs to make each day count for the Lord. Each year lived is the spending of that many days. We need to value the days and spend them, hopefully, in a year. Looking at the mortality of sinful man, the psalmist said, teach us to number our days. We may live 70 years or 80 years, but the application is, teach us to number not our years, but our days. So we should rejoice first in each day the Lord gives us. Psalm 118 verse 24 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad at. This day, 11 degrees when I went outside this morning. I asked the horse if she was cold. She said, yes. you know, it's kind of funny. I go out in the coldest of days and feed that horse, and she still's ornery. This morning, she just kind of, I was carrying the grain, and she nudged me with her head, like, why weren't you here sooner? Well, I got here when I could get here, okay? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. The day, this day, with its opportunities, with its circumstances, with its burdens, with its blessings, is a day the Lord has made, so we should rejoice and be glad in it. Valuing each day, we should live each day for the glory of God. Get up in the morning and say, this is a day that God's given me. I need to live it for God's glory. Value today. What if Jesus came the day you weren't living for his glory? You'd be embarrassed at his coming. We should live each day with eternal values in mind. You know, again, we're caught in time. But valuing our days, making our days count, causes us to look at each day with eternal values in mind. Doing things that last for eternity. Things that are of eternal value. Jesus said this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Living with eternal values in mind, we should view each day on how it contributes to the year. You want 2018 to be a good year? I do, amen. And so January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd, we're up to the 7th already. I want to contribute to the account of 2018 with my pennies for each day, so that I've got 365 pennies set aside for God's honor and glory. Amen? We should view each day on how it contributes to the year. I used to hate to write papers for English or history in high school. I hated it. If I could get out of doing a paper, I would. I could only, and here's my problem. I could only picture back then the enormity of the task at hand. I got to write a paper. And just that thought would scare me to death. I got to write a paper. Then I learned, not in high school, unfortunately, then I learned that the paper was the result of several sentences and paragraphs put together, and you got a paper. Don't think of the total year, of the total life. This year, 2018, think of the sentence of today. I'm going to live today for God. A lady once asked me several times, not once or several times, a certain lady asked me, Pastor, do you think I'll still be living for God when I get older? And my answer was, if you'll live each day for Him, you'll still be living for Him when you get older. Think of each day and the year and life will happen. We should ask the Lord's blessings on our work in chapter 90 of Psalms, and verse 16 it says, let thy work appear to thy servants. Lord, show me what you do and your glory to my children. And then verse 17 says, let the beauty of the Lord our God be on us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. We need to see each day and our daily duties in light of doing it for the Lord. The stability of our daily work depends on the blessing of eternal God. I want what I do to last. And that's God's blessings. If we see His work, we want His blessings, so our works will stand the test of time. 1 Corinthians says, if a man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself saved, yet so as by fire. Making 2018 count means valuing each day this year for God. Taking the right steps each day for God. Reaching others for Christ as you have opportunity. Growing each day in our own personal relationship with the Lord. Our lives will be the total of the days that we live. So let's live each day and make this year really count. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It says, apply our hearts. So we look at God and His greatness. And we look at ourselves in view of His greatness and our finiteness and our sinfulness. And we look to Him in mercy. And we say, Lord, I'm caught in time, but I want to be with You in eternity. So I want to receive Your Son as my Savior. But having done that, I want to live each day so that when I'm with You in eternity, I'll be rewarded for how I lived in time. What steps will you take to make 2018 count? When I came to Berrien County Baptist Church in the fall of 1988, I did not have a plan to spend a certain number of years here. I did not. By the grace of God, I've just lived each day, each week, each month, each year, and I'm in the 30th year, but today is the day that matters the most. today. Lord, teach me to value today. I don't care what happened last year. Well, I care. But I mean, don't base today on what happened last year. Use it for God's glory, but value today for His glory. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. Lord, I want to walk wisely. I'm going to value today and walk wisely because I value my day in time in view of Your eternality. Two questions. As we think of our space in time in view of eternity, I have to ask, have you personally received Christ as your Savior? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? The only way to spend eternity with God is to know Him through Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. As you value each day, say, have I personally called on Jesus Christ, believing He lived and died and rose for me, and asked Him to be my Savior? If so, that's valuing the day in view of eternity. The second question is, what spiritual steps, if you're saved, what spiritual steps will you add to increase the value of each day? I encourage you to read your Bible every day. Why? Make each day count. Spend some time in prayer. Spend each day reflecting on what's right, what things you need to do for the Lord. How can you help somebody else? How can you share the gospel? Had to get some diesel fuel from a tractor plowing snow the other day. That was an ordeal in and of itself. I won't get into it. But there was this black gentleman, a truck driver, that helped me out with something at the pump there and up at the truck stop, the TA at Sawyer. Nice, kind gentleman, very helpful. And I got ready to leave, and the Lord said, you got a tract in your pocket, don't you? And I said, yep. And He needs it. Yes, He does. So I got back out of my truck and said, oh, by the way, here, let me just give you one of these little pamphlets. I said, I'm pastor up here in Stevensville, but this shows you how from the Bible you can go to heaven. Love to have you stop. Come to church with us sometime when you're passing through. You know what? I hope he read it. I gave a tract like that to a lady one day at a hospital. And a couple weeks later, I was driving down the road, she called me and said, I read that pamphlet you gave me, and I've asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. Amen. What spiritual steps will you add to increase the value of your day? Lord, You're great. So teach me. I'm just caught in a little capsule of time. In this capsule of time, I want to make every day count for Your honor and glory. Make 2018 count. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would challenge us today, each one. If there's anybody that's not saved, may they make sure of that in their own heart. And Lord, help each of us that have come to know You as personal Savior to take the steps each day, to value each day, that You'd be honored and glorified, that You could use us for Your glory. Help us, we pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's anyone this morning say, preacher, by the grace of God, I'm going to make 2018 count because I'm going to value today and every day for God's honor and glory. Line my life up with Him and do what He wants me to do. I'm going to make each day count. I'm going to number my days. Pray for me. Who'd slip up their hand today? God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I wonder if there's anyone today that'd say, preacher, to be honest with you, no one else is looking. You'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't have a full assurance in my heart that I'd go to heaven. If there was a way I could know, I'd want to know that. Please pray for me. Who'd slip up their hand? Anybody today? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? How many would say, pastor, as a Christian, I want God to use me to point other people to his glory, to his honor. I want God to use me this year. Would you slip up your hand, please? Amen. Thank you. Make each day. Use each day to point toward that goal. Just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that you're saved, I'd love to have you come. Take the Bible and show you how to be saved today. If there's other steps you need to take as a Christian, follow the Lord in baptism, unite membership. Just want to commit your life to the Lord in a greater way, or you just want to talk to Him in prayer. When we stand and sing, I'd encourage you to come. Let go and let God. Shall we stand together, please? Father, bless this invitation time, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 319, Just As I Am.
Just as I am.
If you would, please. And this morning, Dan and Lauren Murphy have come to unite in membership with Berrien County Baptist Church. Dan is already saved and baptized. Lauren had asked the Lord to be her Savior a few years ago, but had not yet followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And so Dan's going to be uniting in membership through Christian Experience, having been saved and baptized. And Lauren is going to unite in membership through profession of faith and baptism this morning. And then we'll make it an official church vote in our next business meeting coming up here in January. And so praise the Lord for that. We're glad to have Dan and Lauren and little Jack. We just pray that he'll come to the age of understanding before long. And a few years, and realize he needs to ask the Lord to be his Savior. So would you folks stand, please? All right, everybody, you got to look good looking. You don't have to sing. I told Lauren she'd have to sing a song, but we won't make her do that this morning. And so, Lauren, if you could slip into the ladies' dressing room there. Debbie will come make sure you're set right. Dan, you can wait there. Junior Church has come to watch us in our baptism, and Brother Jeff's going to lead us in a song while we prepare.
Number 548 in your song, 548.
Help me. draws.